of sharing. Bless this Bible study, Father. Prepare our hearts to receive it. Let the word fall on good ground, bring forth fruit a hundredfold, transform us and change us by this word that we won't same. Father, I'm asking you to quicken this word to the spirit of man. The spirit, the inner secret spirit of man. I'm not dealing with the outer body, when man. I'm talking about the spirit of man, mankind down in the heart, where there's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, Scythian, bond, free, but everybody's the same. Secret spirit man is just one gender and can receive this word and bring it forth as you would desire to have it come. Father, do that now tonight for us in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Amen. Okay. Tonight we're going to be talking about testing the bride's emotions. Testing the bride's emotions. See, if you really want to find out who's in love with whom, all you have to do is put that person in a tight place and see whether their emotions turn. I'll use this example again. That man and woman example is a good one. If you get a woman that's trying to be real aloof and trying to be real flighty and not pay attention to a guy, and he doesn't bug me, I don't care if he lives or dies. I don't give 2 cents about him. He doesn't move me 1 inch. I don't care anything about him. Forget him. I'm living my life. He's living his. He's out of my system. He's out of my life. It's a done deal. It's over. I'm through with him. Enough said. Then the fella gets hit by a car and she goes to pieces. Why? See, that thing wasn't triggered until that person was being harmed and the real thing came out. See, anybody can look like they don't care until the thing gets triggered. Just like people in the church can act like they don't love the world until that thing gets triggered. So you can always walk around looking like you don't love the world. Singing songs, talking in tongues, praying, fasting, everything. But see, the devil just hasn't hit you yet. See, when the devil hits you, he doesn't hit you around everybody else and out in the open and all that kind of thing. The devil hits you alone, all by yourself. You know, when you get saved, a whole lot of times you'll find out, boy, when you get saved, fella gets saved on Saturday, Monday night, his old girlfriend is standing at his front door. Hadn't seen her in 35 years. Why? The devil's going back to his trump cards, playing trump cards that he used a long time ago. The devil builds a systematic watch over your life to know what you like and what you don't like. He knows what type of women you like, what type of men you like, what kind of clothes you like, what kind of cars you like, what kind of people you would hang around with in the world, where you went, what you said, what you did, how you did it, the sexual things you did, the sexual things you liked, the things you ate, the things you didn't like to eat, all of that. The devil has a running track record on everybody. And believe me, his mind is just like a big, gigantic semiconductor, mainframe computer with everybody's statistics inside of his mind to know what you'll go for and what you want. So what he does is he just waits you out for a long time and just keeps waiting. He likes to see people get way up there in God. Way up there. But don't get over that one thing. And he just watches you rise up and keeps that one thing right there. One thing. One thing. I think Jesus told somebody, you know, you've done a lot of things. I think he was talking to Martha. You've done a lot of things, Martha, but one thing was needful for you. One thing can keep you out of the kingdom of God. One thing can send you to hell. I gave up everything, but this one fella, that one fella can carry you to hell. See, one thing is all it takes. So what God does as we begin this journey on our way to becoming Jesus' bride, is all along the way he tests the bride's emotions to see where your affections really are. And I'm going to show you how he'll test your emotions in a church and in your walk with God. First of all, you have to understand how Jesus was to understand how you ought to be, because we are the reflection of him on the earth. As he is, the Bible says, so we are in the world. So therefore, however he is in the heavenlies, that's exactly the way that God's going to make us in the world. We're going to be just like him before he comes back to get us. Anybody that is not like him, when the rapture takes place, they won't lift. He's only coming back for what? Himself. His body, the body of Christ. He's not coming back for people who are outside the body or whose affections are outside the body. He's coming back for those who have chosen to be with him eternally and who have remained faithful and true through all kinds of diabolical schemes and all kinds of distresses and all kinds of tribulations. They have chosen to remain faithful and true. You got to remember that now. God, make me faithful. You know, you must choose to be faithful. That's why these people teach all this faith stuff like it's automatic. It's not automatic. God works in unison with the human. He does not work and make the human do anything. He works, he meshes his soul with our souls and walks in unison with us, in agreement with us. As we will to, he is able to work his will. But if we don't will to, he can't do anything. The Holy Ghost doesn't drive you anywhere. The Holy Ghost prompts you. He leads you. He instructs you. He moves on you. He does everything he can. But he'll never make you do anything. But if you yield this body over to him, he'll do what he has to do through it at the appointed time. Now, to understand emotions, first of all, let's look at Jesus so we can understand how he was. And then we can compare ourselves to him and see how far we've come. If we're close to being like him, or are we still messed up? Now, a lot of people say, well, the way I look at it, I'm pretty close to being like Jesus. Well, I'll get to some examples, and we'll see if you're close to being like Jesus. And we'll see if you're doing any of these things, you can tell real fast. Look over at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Luke 9:57. And it says this. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. All right, these are the emotions of Jesus. Most Christians would see Jesus as a dirty, low-down guy. Can you believe what that dirty... I can't believe that. Young fella, little 17-year-old boy, just wanted to go and bury his dad, and he told him that the dead bury their dead. That unfeeling, I'm through with him. I'm through with him right now. I don't want any part of this. You can have him. Unfeeling, no emotions. But was Jesus without emotions? Shortest scripture in the Bible. Jesus wept. Jesus had emotions. But see, this is the difference between Jesus and us. Our emotions, most of the time, are stimulated from the earth. From outside circumstances, they stimulate our emotions. Person dies, we cry. Get a new car, we get happy. Somebody runs in the new car, we get sad. Somebody left you a lot of money, you get happy. The IRS takes a lot of the money that somebody gave you, you get sad. You get a raise, you get happy. You get laid off, you get sad. See, as long as you're like that, you can't be walking by faith. It's impossible. Outward circumstances are generating every emotional change in you. You're still what? And loving what? The world. You still love the world as long as outward situations can change your emotions. Because you know what? You'll never be led by the Spirit as long as you respond to outward circumstances. If you study Jesus, if you've ever studied Jesus very closely, all four Gospels, before I ever got into the ministry, before I ever started preaching, that's where I spent all my time. Starting the Gospel of John, that's the love gospel, and studying everything he did, everything he said, every person he talked to, how he talked to them, what he said, why he said it, who is he talking to when he said what he said, why did he talk to the Pharisees like that, why did he say that to that person like that, what's going on, why did he tell Peter that, why was Peter being sifted like wheat, why is he going to change Peter from just being a stone to a rock? He said, your name is going to be Peter, but I'm going to change you and make your name Cephas. A stone to a rock. Why? I mean, what is that? What's the transition about? So you have to study Jesus, meticulously study everything he did, everything he said, every little thing he did. Why? To understand yourself, you must understand him. If you're going to be recreating in his exact image, you're looking at what you're going to be. Did y'all get that? Did you really get it? Or are you just shaking your head? Yes. If you want to know what you are, know him. Because that's what you're designed to be from the foundation of the world. What we blow through the gospels, you know, just like, you know, it's nothing. You have to meticulously study him. Jesus was not led by his emotions. He wasn't a responder to outward circumstances. What did he respond to? The prompting and the leading of the Holy Ghost. Only. How did he do it? He kept under his body so that his body and his emotions did not dominate him. Because you can never hear from God as long as outward circumstances dictate to you. So Paul was able to say, none of these things move me. The things of this world go strange to them. As you grow in grace and grow in the Spirit, outward circumstances really don't mean that much to you anymore. What people say, what they do, what they think about you, what they feel about you, what other people think about you. You know, if you're moved by what people, some people come and tell you what they think about this church or what they think about what I said or Brother Terry said or what the ministry said. Who cares? Is it right or is it wrong? If it's right, walk in. If you think it's wrong, don't sit up under it. I mean, I won't sit up under something I thought was wrong. People think that it matters what happens as far as people doing this, that, the other. It does not matter. The only ones that can receive from a particular ministry are those that are called to receive from it. Those are the only ones. No matter how hard you try to make people fit in, they cannot fit in unless God calls them to fit in. You have to be tailor-made to receive certain things. Some people can't receive it. But you can't be led by your emotions. Look over at Luke. And I'll tell you what, look over at Matthew 12. Look over at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12. Verse 46. Matthew 12:46. He says, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. All they want to do is talk to you, Jesus. Why are you coming off on the guy like that? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what's the big deal? They just brought some slippers down to you and a snack. They just want to talk to you. But see, you have to know what was happening. What was happening right there? The devil was trying to test him to see if he could be turned by his family. But you never know that unless you and the Spirit and the Holy Ghost to tell you what was happening. That's why people look for ministries or ministers who are led by the Spirit to react to circumstances. When they don't, you can't understand it. It's all kind of stuff happening around the church. I see this stuff happening. You know, I'm not crazy. I see it. Folks get sick. Folks don't come to church for months at a time. Why don't you call them? Why don't you? Because I go to God and ask him, what do you want me to do? If he says nothing, then I do nothing. But if you entertain all this stuff on the phone about all these emergencies coming your way and you're reacting to them, the devil's jacking your jaw and you don't even know it. He got you sitting up thinking, they don't care about it. There's no love. See, the devil's got you jacked up. Because you are trying to respond to folks in the flesh. You'll find that 95 to 99% of the church, the stuff that folks do in church is a bunch of hogwash. They want attention, most of them. Well, I'm just over here just going through. What did the pastor? No, I ain't heard from nobody. I'm just doing the best I can. The Lord, it's all right. I know the Lord taking care of me, though. You know, I'm just going on with the Lord. And you say, now, man, that sure is. Now, that's a dirty, low-down shame. I thought that was love over there. Love is not an emotion. Love is the presence of a person. God is love. I've said that 100 times. People still get jacked up by it. If I go over there and rub Tip's head all night, look into his eyes deeply, telling him how much I love him, that means absolutely nothing. You want to test that out? You women can answer that. How many guys told you they love you out in the world and just treated you like a dog in the long run? But I love you, though. I love you. Then you tell them, tell me you love me. You never tell me you love me. Oh, I love you. See, he don't care. No, he don't care if you live or die. But you just want to feel like he loved me. Before he bedded you down, you had to feel like, you know, it was sincere. So you could feel like that sin you were doing was all right. That's how the devil does it, man. He makes you feel like everything's all right. You listen to all this hogwash people are telling you, most of the time you will go crazy. And you'll find out most emotion-centered ministries are nothing but designed programs to get flesh folks caught up in emotions and feeling like they're all right. That's why a lot of people think, man, he's a hardcore guy. He don't care about anything. Yes, I do. I care about everybody. You don't know how much I care about folks. I do. I care enough about them to let them lay down on a sick bed and die if God said to do so. You say, man, that's kind of... No, it's not. Because they may have to die to make it in. See, you're looking at things from the flesh and be messed up. Messed up walking with God because he's not going to be thinking and reacting and doing what to. That's why before you can walk this walk, you have to be elevated into a realm of the Spirit. That's like we talk about a lot of times about AIDS, the AIDS epidemic. The AIDS epidemic can be the biggest blessing the homosexual community ever had. Why? Because a lot of them would get saved with AIDS. So a guy worked. I believe this guy has AIDS, knowing his lifestyle, knowing what he was doing. He walking around now with a little Bible. No, he hadn't been to work for 6 months now, leading me to believe that he's chronically sick now. But why did he grab that Bible? Because he was going to die. That's why I grabbed that Bible. See, some people can't get in any other way. We said, this is pitiful. I'm so grieved. Look, we're in the area now. It's like this. Save them at any cost. If you have to lose an eye, save them. If you have to lose a leg, save them. If they have to lose both legs, save them. If they have to get saved on a deathbed, save them. The time is getting short. You have a lot of time to Mickey Mouse around with a lot of preliminary stuff. Look, save them. That's why people, see, most people thwart other people's salvation. Because you know what happened? There's stuff in them that God sees. They start going through, and you jump up trying to make it easy and massage them and try to deal with them in the flesh and thwart the whole process. That's what gets folks messed up. A lot of stuff will seem to be hardcore, but God is not time and space centered. He's not flesh centered. He's eternal, looking down at this mess, dealing with folks in it the way he has to deal with them. That's why love can't be an emotion to you. If you walk in your emotions, you're going to listen to all this stuff that people says and begin to respond to them, and you're going to be drugged off into an emotional arena and get your head torn off by the devil thinking it's God. The biggest trick out there. This thing is not emotion-centered. It's spirit-centered. But you'll never be spirit-centered as long as you're emotion-centered. Now, this is easier to say than it is to do. I'm saying it to you right now. But I guarantee you, you can walk out of here right after this and be right back in your emotions within 5 minutes. Because, see, if you're fleshly, a carnal, and emotion-centered, no matter what I say, if you don't want to get out of that arena, you'll stay there. There's nothing I can do or say to make God himself, if he stood right here right now and said what I'm saying to you right now, God himself, and you don't want to get out of it, there will be nothing he can do about it. Because it's according to as you purpose in your heart, just like giving, as you purpose in your heart. That's how it's going to be. And see what happens in churches. See, I deal with folks in church. If I told some of you all some of the stuff that I hear, and Brother Terry hears, you said, "No, that didn't happen. I know that. You just making that up. You know, you did. You are lying." No, I'm not lying. This stuff happens. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is this: I know basically where everybody is. And I know when people don't want to give stuff up. So I just watch them. And I say, man, they finna be hit by a Mack truck. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. Then that Mack truck comes and hits them. You just watch them go through it. Let them lay out there, hit by that Mack truck, squalling and bawling. But maybe in the middle of all that, they'll let that thing go that's binding them. Sometimes you have to get knocked down, laid out, cold cocked. Is that the easy way out? No. You could have come out the easy way. Listened to the word, heeded it, repented, and turned around. But no, negative. I don't want to do that. I have to do it my way. I think there's a better way. I see a brighter light at the end of the tunnel than the word. So I'm going to try it my way. So folks go on out there, get in all kind of bad relationships, all kind of bad situations, all kind of old dead end streets. And then at the end of dead end street, they start crying out. I tell you a good one that people get waylaid with all the time. Control spirits. Man, those things there, boy, I tell you the truth. If a control spirit can't dominate you, then it will switch on you. It'll go to intimidation. If it can't intimidate you, what's the next one? It'll manipulate you. Make you feel like you're doing it a favor. All the time you're doing what it wants you to do. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm helpless. Help me. I just can't. I can't do it. It's like a woman that's a mechanic that wants a man. So her car is broken down the side of the street and she looks helpless, so the man will come and help her fix her car. All the while, she's a top-rated mechanic herself. See, that's what we have in the church. Folks who know spiritual stuff. Now, most of this stuff is going to be run on you people who just being saved or who haven't been saved for a long time. I'll tell you how it's going to work. Church experts, church theologians, church doctorates, people who've been around church a long time, who haven't let this witchcraft stuff go, they're going to see you as easy prey. Because you don't know the ropes, see? You come in here and sit in a spiritual environment, but you don't understand I'm full of spirits. And I'm able to manipulate and intimidate you and get my way with you, and you don't even know what's being done to you. And just run you through the ringer. Could you come pick me up, take me? Could you help? I just called to say, why you sounding so down? Well, it's nothing. I'm just praying about it. Just don't worry about it. I'm all right. No, what's going on? Well, really, that brother Gary, you know, I don't understand why he and Sister Barbara and Terry and Angela, they seem like they, next thing you know, you out there thinking, oh, God, these devils brought you into the, I mean, this stuff will waylay you, man. You have to be, in this thing here, you have to walk circumspectly. You know why? Because you're a spirit sitting right there in your body, right? But guess what? All spirits can cut covenants with other spirits. At any given moment of time, you don't know what you're talking to. Unless God is able to discern the spirit, good or evil, based on him, you being in covenant with him. A person can start off talking about something godly and mid-sentence switch to something demonic. If you don't know when the break is made or when the switch is made, you're going to be talking half the way through the conversation with God and the rest of the way with the devil. I said, man, I can't believe that could happen. Believe me, it could happen. Remember Peter? He was one breath saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, that's well said, Peter. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. But my Father that was in heaven, how? Via the Spirit, revealed that to you. Then Jesus said, I'm going to be crucified. I must offer myself up. No, Master, this shall not come unto you. Get behind me, Satan. For you savor the things not that be of God, but the things that be of men. Talking to the same Peter. But what happened? Because Peter's emotions responded to Jesus being crucified, Satan had an open door in to speak through it. As long as your emotions are open, you're nothing but a gateway for the devil. That's all you are. That's why I cannot put down a lot of weight on emotional folk. You can't do it, man. You cannot put weight down on emotional folk. Because they'll be this way today, that way tomorrow. And no matter how hard you try, well, I'm going to try not to be emotional. So I'll be in the spirit. That won't work. Because all the devil's going to do is just tick that emotion and you're going to be right back in your emotions again. How do you do it? How do you get out of your emotions? Read the Bible. Believe the Bible. Do what the Bible says. See, everybody always trying to get way up here, man. Way up here, boy. I'm telling you, always up here in the spirit. In the spirit. See how simple it is. The simplicity in Christ. Read the Bible, believe the Bible, do what the Bible says. That's the hardest thing for a person to do. What I have just said right there sounds like it's so easy. That's the hardest thing for a human being to do. It's so simple that it's hard. Because the human mind has been trained to be complicated. Why? Years spent in Babylon, which means what? Confusion makes your thoughts confused and you try to make it bigger than it really is. I told somebody that. Read the Bible, believe the Bible, do what the Bible says. They said, oh, okay. I said, you understand what I'm saying, right? Well, no, I'm not really getting what you're saying. I'm not really seeing what you're saying. I say, simple. Now listen to me. read the Bible, believe the Bible, do what the Bible says. We said, well, we'll break that down. Okay, I'll break that down for you. Read the Bible. When you read the Bible, whatever you read in it, believe that. Now, after you believe that, do it. Okay, I got it. But see, it's so simple that it's hard. I'll give you, now let's make an example of this thing so you can see it. I go up the tip and slap the fire out of him. Remember that you just said, slap the fire out of him. Like old people say, I slap the fire out of you. What does that mean anyway? Anyway, isn't that a mathematical symbol or something? Fire. Anyway, I slap the fire out of you. What is that pie? I slap the pie out of you. That's the mathematical symbol. Anyway, slap him. Hard as I can. Just wrap back and just slap him into next week. Everybody here will say, I can't believe he actually slapped. Now, what's Tip supposed to do? See, now everybody said that, right? See? See what I'm saying? But see what I'm saying? Now, see, that's the difference between what the Bible says and what we do. See, now everybody can say, yeah, turn another cheek. I come up to Phyllis over there. Say, Phyllis, I like you. You know what? But you one of the stupid, most ignorant, most ugly. You know, I can't stand your child. You know something about your child? Your child is just sloppy. I can't stand her. Every time she come around, nose running. And you, why don't you dress your child better, Phyllis? You know, I'm doing all that, right? I go on for about 30 minutes. What's Phyllis supposed to do? Pray for me. Bless me. See what I'm saying? See, it doesn't bless folks out. It says bless them. You see what I'm saying? That's the difference, though. You see what I'm saying? Because, see, when I say, now I just said this now. Read the Bible, believe the Bible, do what the Bible says. Now, in practical application, you see what I'm saying? What you're dealing with then? What's contrary to what the Bible says? No, what is it? What is it that's contrary and stands up to what it says? But what about the flesh? What part of it? Your will. That's your will. What are we talking about tonight? Your emotions are going to stand up against what the Bible says. Your emotions are going to say, you cannot do this right now because look at what's happening to you. And they're going to stand up against what the Bible says. And that's where you have to just die and get on the cross. But I'm going to tell you why most Christians cannot do it. Read the Bible, believe the Bible, do what the Bible says, right? But I left out the fourth one. It's the fourth one that's killing the church. And it has to be corrected if the church is going to come alive and really represent Christ. Read it, believe it, do it concerning the Bible. That mortifies the old man. The fourth one is obey the Spirit. And that's the new man. The letter, after being fed into you, now must be made alive and come back up out of you for you to be able to do what the Bible says. And that's where the problem is. It starts out as willpower. But what you'll find happening in the middle of that willpower is this. You start off with gritted teeth and willpower. Wanting to tell this guy, having your fist balled up ready to give that guy just recompense of reward. You see what I'm saying? Ready to fight back. Fist balled up, but just true grit, like that old John Wayne movie, True Grit. Just with willpower and clenched fist and clenched teeth, I refuse to answer you the way you're answering me. And just say, well, praise the Lord. Inside of you, everything in you is at a fever pitch, man. Why? What's happening? Adam, the flesh, demons, everything, emotions, everything is just roaring inside. Now, what will happen is this right here. It'll begin like that. But what happened? The more you do it, and 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 the more you do it, you'll find a shift will take place where you'll begin to see that fever pitch and those emotions that are high will begin to decrease. And what will happen? The Holy Ghost will begin to increase in the new man. And after a while, the response will be by nature and not through your willpower. The guy cursed me. I couldn't curse him back, not because I tried not to, but I just still wasn't there, man. Why'd I stop drinking? I don't know why I stopped drinking. The thing was gone, man. Smoking. It was gone. I can't explain it to you. The thing is gone. See, that's the way it is. It's life coming up in you. A new life. A new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are now made new. It starts off with ingestion. Secondarily, digestion of the word. And then finally, a demonstration of the word coming out of that new life. But as long as you let folks in the church keep jacking your jaw with all these problems and emotional things, and I'm sick and I'm dying, and Brother Gary or Brother Terry said, some sister brother said this and that and the other, and oh man, you're bad forever. That's why I tell folks, don't go out trying to promote the church like that. Come over here and hear our great man of God present the word. We're a loving church, a beautiful church. We love everyone. We care for your needs. We love the Lord and love you too. See, all that stuff, man, you don't need all that. Because what's going to happen is you're going to draw emotion-centered folks. What's the draw if people are going to come? They're going to read your life. Say, man, you don't respond like everybody else does. You're peaceful in the midst of a storm. How'd you get like this? They're going to be drawn to Christ. But if you come with all that, we love you. We love you. Love your brother. We love your sister. We love your daughter. We love your child. We love your mother. We love. So all you got there, man, is a bunch of junk. A bunch of loving junk, you know. Love-ins of the 60s when the hippies were out in communes, naked, smoking dope. We're having a love-in. Emotional, carnal, filthy, dirty, degenerate flesh. That's all it is. You mistake that for love. And I'll tell you what, when you really, 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 really need somebody, it's going to let you down. False deception. The devil's counterfeit of real love. Emotion-centered love for emotion-centered people. If you love me, buddy, tell me the truth. Peter, do you love me? What evidence do you have if you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep, man. Feed my sheep. That's the evidence. All the rest of this stuff is hogwash. Look, let me tell you something. People know in the church, I respond to a lot of things when God tells me to. I've come over to several of you all's houses in the middle of the night answering a response to something, you know. But let me say this. If he said to leave you alone because he's got to do something to your flesh to work it out, you better believe I'm leaving you and everything around you alone. Because you have sealed yourself up with God for him to deal with you. We preach enough word in this church, I know, to liberate 10,000 guys. If you just take it and apply it to your life. But if you don't take it and apply it to your life, you're going to have to go down the rough side of the road, or up the rough side of the mountain, or whatever that saying is. You got to go the hard route. That means you got to be bludgeoned to death. Jesus said it simply, look, if you fall on me, you'll be broken. But if I fall on you, what's going to happen? I'm going to have to grind you to powder. That's Jesus discipline a person. He's going to grind you to powder until you can't even lift up your head to say, help. You just, that's it for me, man. I got nothing left in me. It's over for me. Fornication. After I had that syphilis three times, man, that gonorrhea, hey, that was enough for me, man. I'm through with that. I'm through with fornication, buddy. That's it for me. And it was tested me for AIDS, but found out I didn't have it. You don't have to worry about me again. I'm through with it. See what I'm saying? It's a cost. You could be ground to powder out there. People who are in witchcraft and control, like to manipulate people. Some I've seen people, and I'm telling you what I know. I'm not telling you what I heard or somebody told me. I'm telling you what I know. I've seen women in witchcraft in the church have kids killed because they wouldn't let their control go. I'm telling you what I know. I've seen fornicating guys struck by lightning, struck down dead because they wouldn't come clean. God is real. He gives people space and time to repent. But he says, my spirit won't always strive with a man. Comes an appointed time when bills come due. You can hold off a bill collector for months, but bills come due. You don't just put yourself in danger. You put your kids in danger, your household in danger. Some people have to lose their homes, lose cars, lose jobs, so they'll give it up. Witchcraft, control, manipulation, that's a heavy-duty one. Cancer, rottenness in the bones when you're carrying bitterness with you. All this stuff be down in folks. And want to let it go. That's why we preach what we preach. To let the old man die, mortify your members, deal with them so you won't have to pay the penalty that he's due. Remember, Jesus bore the burden of the old man, but if you want to keep the old man riding piggyback on you, then you're keeping the wages of sin riding on you, and the wages of sin are what? Death. Slow suicide, that's all it is. People out there in the world, I don't care who they are, what they're doing, where they're going, who they're talking to, they're slowly committing suicide. I can tell you where everybody's headed, to their own death. Just as sure as we're sitting here right now. To be unsaved is nothing but taking a revolver to your head and blowing your brains out. That's all it is. And all we're doing is this, standing up saying, hey man, look, listen, there's a better way than this. Hold it. You know your mind's being tormented. You know your emotions are messed up. You know you're feeling like a dog. Why walk around feeling like that when you could be scot-free and feeling happy and good about yourself? Full of joy, full of peace, no turmoil, and living a happy life. It's simple. But people make it hard. I'm going to wrap it up with this. Turn your Bible to one scripture. I have other scriptures, but just turn to this one. Galatians 4:19. Galatians 4, let me see here, yeah, hold it right at 4:19 for just a minute. Yeah, okay. let's go with Galatians 4:15. It says, where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. In other words, there are people working who try to make you exclusive and be excited after them or wondering after them. Have your emotions and your feelings tied to them. My little children, whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. That's what I'm telling you tonight. All our mission is to try to have Christ formed in you. Not to have you to be a church member or belonging to this particular sect or this particular group. Christ being formed in you. Then you can walk around scot-free and go wherever you want to go. I don't care what you do after that. And as long as Christ is being formed in you and you're maturing, he'll take care of you. You can go to Timbuktu. if Christ is in you, you are going to be able to go there and discern good and evil and know what's happening immediately, because the spirit of Christ in you will let you know. But as long as you're struggling to get to that place where Christ is matured in you, there are all kind of pitfalls out there I'm trying to warn you about. He says, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. And he goes on talking about the yoke of the law, the difference between Hagar and Sarah, and the difference between the law and the faith we walk in. But I'm going to close by saying this. In a church, in this church, in every church, forces work at all times, spiritual forces. There'll be voices coming from the outside in, trying to draw you off in all kinds of stuff emotionally. I know we tell it hard. We tell it hard and straight because that's the way it's done. You come right down Main Street with this thing, and you have to sit there and let Christ chisel out his image in you. See it in yourself, repent, turn away from it. And keep your nose to the grindstone until Christ is actually formed in you. It's a volatile thing for another being to be formed up inside of you. Ask the mother being pregnant and letting the baby grow up in her. That's the same thing that's happening with Christ. When a mother gets pregnant, man, some of everything goes on in her. Hormones changing, mood changes, ups and downs, up all night, using the bathroom, getting back in the bed, up again in 15 minutes. But I can't, I don't know whether to sleep on my side or my back. I don't know whether to sleep or walk. Look, don't touch me. Don't talk to me. See, why is that? There's another life being formed up in there. That's why in the church, man, people go through all kinds of changes. Just, oh, okay, I see them jumping around and wanting attention and, you know, let folks go into your house and read your Bible or something. Stop worrying about all these folks. They drive you crazy if you let them. Well, I'm just going through. Everybody's going through. So what? I've been sick. You see what I'm saying? I mean, think about it now. People worship themselves so much, they think, I'm the only one. Then they begin to get you emotionally entangled. They begin to manipulate you to make you feel like they sure are pitiful. And you be way out there in Wonderland with them. Some folks need to go through stuff like they go through to get the junk out of their flesh. He told you, look, think it not strange if some strange thing has happened to you, as if some fiery trial has come on you. Don't think it's strange. I mean, if you said it right there, that's why you all are responding. Oh, they're just going through a fiery trial. I'll pray for them on the way. So it's going to work. Tribulation and all these things are going to work. Patience, experience, hope. And then finally gets to what? Love, which makes not ashamed. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart now, and you're able to walk in this thing. But what's he got? He got to burn all that junk out of you a lot of times, because there won't be a willful desire to repent. Some folks have witchcraft. I use this one because this is a major one. Witchcraft control and that sorcery is so deeply embedded in some people's souls that it's going to take God with a shovel to dig it out. They still cannot give up some kind of little manipulation or some kind of little something to be in control and be the one who has to tell everybody everything and have a spiritual something or other to throw in there. And all that ain't but a bunch of junk, man. Forget all that. Go home with your Bible and get yourself free. Pray through. And I'll tell you another one that's just ridiculous. This is what folks do all the time, right? Now, this is a weird one. I'm sitting at home. I'm messed up. But yet I can see everybody else's problem. You know, so-and-so, they like got a spirit of lust. So-and-so, like they got a spirit of a... So-and-so seem like they don't love enough. So-and-so feel like they... Seeing all this stuff, you sitting at home just as blind as a bat, but you seeing all these spiritual problems everywhere. What's causing that? The devil don't want you to deal with you.
So he has you coming, people just coming to you with all their problems. I just came by to tell you, here you are just in there just. Now I minister the gospel. I pastor the church. I don't take on that stuff. I don't see why people, why would you take on all that? You'd have to be crazy. You sitting there bearing all that stuff like you're Christ. Christ in the flesh, you know. I'm called to bear your burdens. Let me take your burdens on me. Man, you sink. You go under with all this mess. People are not as helpless as they try to make you believe they are. They try to make you, I'm so weak. They lying through their teeth, man. What they do the last 25 years when you didn't know them? Wake up, man. Wake up and smell the coffee. Folks are not helpless. Folks are just running the game on you. Now wake up. Wake up. Wake up, thou that sleepeth, and Christ shall give thee light. They know what it says. But see, that's what you got at all times. Folks trying to draw you off into Alice's Wonderland. Center and focus in on Christ. Study him in those gospels. Know him, his personality. Get so entrenched in his personality that you can't separate you from him. And then when outside circumstances happen around you, you will respond accordingly, according to your nature being changed, not according to what somebody's dictating to you. This gospel that we're preaching is designed not to draw the masses. It's designed to draw and drive. It draws those that want truth and drives those who don't. It draws those that want reality and drives those that want fantasy. It draws those that want Christ. It drives those that want an emotional, false antichrist. That's what it's designed to do. It's not designed to draw the masses. I know the gospel to preach to pack the church out. For what? This is the end time. You got to sit there with 3,000 corner folks, all 3,000 of them, and you going to hell. What the good is that doing you? We got a big church doing a nice choir and a nice little praise section over there. And the choir is beautiful and the church is beautiful. But all of us are going to hell together, but it's lovely. Now, what kind of sense would that make? We're in a warfare. I say this all the time. A church is a volatile environment. If you're emotional in your emotions, the devil's running a trick on you. And he's going to get you out there in some old make-believe mess. And you're going to think you got the right thing, only to have an emotional image of Christ that's wrong. This thing is not emotion-centered. It's spirit-centered. That's why it said, worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Come after him, deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. The people who try to keep you in your emotions and try to run all this stuff on you, all they are doing is they're trying to keep you off of that cross, because if you get on the cross, you can expose the fact that they don't want to get up there. So they want to drag you back down into the emotion realm where they are. That's what this thing is all about. Wheat, tares grow up together. Separation is made. And then the wheat shine forth as the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. So, you know, you got to learn to do this in a church. You got to learn to be in the church, but not caught up in the church mess. See, I've learned to do that. I hear and see everything that everybody else. Look, the same stuff you hear and see, I hear and see the same stuff. You might think, I don't know what's going on. I know what's going on. I know the folks that are drifting in and out, the ones that are half in, half out, and the ones that are drifting around trying to say stuff and trying to say, hey, this, that, and this happened. I know all of that. If I don't know it by fact, all I do is go and pray or go and be asleep somewhere and God will show me something in a dream or show my wife something in a dream and she wake up and tell me that this is, you know, that's how it works. This is spiritual. It's not make-believe. This is real. You gotta understand, you're dealing with the hearts of men. Where your heart is, that's where your life is going to end up. If your heart is in the heavenlies, your whole life will go to the heavenlies. If your heart is down here, You'll try to stay down here in a comfort zone, and you'll be panicking, trying to pull others over into your comfort zone because you feel insecure there. It's Linus's blanket. See, I'm out here in an emotional zone that I don't want to give up. Now, for me to feel comfortable here, I'm trying to get as many people over here where I am so I'll feel like I'm all right. Now, ask yourself this question. If you're walking in righteousness and truth, there is no drive in you whatsoever to make another person walk in what you're walking in. You know why? Because you know you're walking in righteousness and truth. But a person that's not, they're trying to get as many people as they can to do and believe what they believe. Why? Because they know something is out of kilter, and they don't want to be exposed for what's out of kilter. So the more over here with me, the more I can pack a lot of people around me to make me feel like I'm all right, all the while knowing I'm not all right. That's why Jehovah's Witnesses go door to door. Mormons go door to door. Farrakhan followers on every street corner trying to pack in followers to follow the delusion to make me feel like I'm all right for the delusion I'm in. But when you're comfortable and know you're right in Christ, you can go through a lot of things with you and Christ alone, because you know you're going through. But a lot of this stuff is nothing more than spiritual, charismatic witchcraft, emotion-centered witchcraft, to make people feel like you need help or feel like you're helpless and they won't make it without you. And if you're being manipulated by that, you know what your problem is? You're still trying to be the savior of the world and won't let Christ be the savior. You are Christ. You stand in the way of Christ. He might have to knock your head off to make you see that he doesn't need a savior because he... So if you have to go through that, then you're going to have a long road to hoe. Believe me, Jesus knows those that are his. And he knows how to deal with each one of them. I don't get on his turf. Tells me to leave it alone, I leave it alone. Tells me to go and be an aid of what he's doing, I go and aid what he is doing as a tool in his hands. See, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. He does not need me or need you. But people like to think they need me. What's the problem? Still have a need to be needed. And you'll be amazed how many preachers preach and minister out of a need to be needed. And they bind their whole congregation because they are rejected inside and need to be needed. That's heavy bondage, man. When somebody needs to be needed, that's like somebody you drag around a ball and chain because they need to be needed. Can I do something for you? Can I serve you? Can I help you? I'll pick you up. I'll take you. I'll drive you. I'll show you. I'll do it. Hold it. Wait for me. Don't go without me. Let me call you. Need to be needed. Why don't you go somewhere and get a good night's sleep, man? Drink a soda. Read a good book. Do something. But have to do something because you need to be needed. That's the worst bondage of all. And that's why you'll be easily manipulated, because you need to be needed. Be careful out there. Like I used to say on that old Hill Street Blues TV show. You still be careful out there on the streets of New York. But do that, though, because it's not New York City, but there's a whole lot of demons out here. And believe me, you're dealing with multi-million-year-old creatures here. They've studied many a person, and they've brought down bigger prey than us. David, man, he fought in many a battle. But David still got the Bathsheba. Samson killed thousands of Philistines, but he still got the Delilah. Peter was warring all he could, walking with Jesus every day, but he still got that little girl when Jesus was being crucified, who asked that one little old question, and he was cursing like a mad dog. See, all that sounds good. Get right there, and that one thing is enough to take you under. Your emotions. Remember, the emotions of the bride are being tested every day, day after day, to see whose affections have really been turned above and whose affections are set above and not on the earth. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost to change us into your image. And thank you for Jesus Christ, who is able to save us all and save and redeem our souls. Let our emotions now be his emotions. Let our feelings be his feelings. Change us so we're not bound by witchcraft, manipulation, and sorcery any longer, but that we are only led by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And we have power over the flesh, the world, and the devil, because we submit ourselves to your authority as by an act of our will we do it. Not because we have to, but because we want to. Because we love you. And we trust you and are persuaded that you're able to keep those things that we're committed to you against that day. According to your word now, let it be done unto us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.